And we're joined by Allison Winicky now, president and CEO of the Immunization Partnership here in Texas. Really appreciate the time, Allison.
Happy to be here.
It's an exciting time for a lot of reasons just to have the vaccine in Texas. The importance of it is obvious, but to those who maybe don't understand what it could mean for us, how do you put it into context?
Yeah, well, the COVID-19 vaccines that have been authorized by the FDA for emergency use may be our most effective tool to end the global pandemic. The Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, they're about 95% effective in preventing the coronavirus, which is an outstanding rate. And so once we can get estimates somewhere between about 70% to about 95% of adults in Texas vaccinated, then we will start to reach that herd immunity that we can put the pandemic finally behind us.
You know, the current estimates don't seem to indicate that quite that volume will be right there, ready to get the vaccine as soon as it's available for them. What's the best way from a perspective of an organization like yours to make sure that people know about the safety of the vaccine and about its effectiveness and what it means for us? How do you convince people to go ahead and take that step?
Well, some people have questions about these vaccines being developed so quickly, but in reality, the research has actually been going on for decades. The COVID-19 that we've been dealing with during the pandemic, it's a SARS-type virus, and it's really similar to the virus we saw in the SARS pandemic back in 2003. And so researchers, they've been working for almost two decades on this kind of technology for a SARS-type vaccine. So that's why once we were able to sequence the DNA for this new coronavirus, it was a quicker process to sort of implement it into technology that had already been in the works. Secondly, another reason that hopefully folks will feel a little bit more comfortable is that because this is a global pandemic, we had tens of thousands of people enrolled in the clinical trials all across the globe. And one of the reasons we were able to get this safety and efficacy data relatively quickly is the scope of the spread, and that so many people enrolled in the clinical trials ended up getting exposed to coronavirus in their community. So scientists could quickly ascertain that, yes, this test vaccine they had been given actually did protect them. And then the third thing that I would say is that these first vaccines are authorized for emergency use during a pandemic, but the regular long-term safety studies that the FDA requires, they are still going on. And so far, we have seen extremely mild side effects with these vaccines, things like sore arms, headache, or slight fever. But these are actually signs that the vaccine are working and that your immune system is creating a defense for the real coronavirus. And so I'm actually very pleasantly surprised that the efficacy rate has been so high, that the side effects are so mild and minimal, and that we are opening this up during an emergency for the most high-risk folks to get access to it. But we're still continuing to monitor these for the very long-term side effects.
I understand. Now, how do we make sure that the people who need it the most get it instead of those with, you know, money or connections, people that want to be at the front of the line, but it's not quite their time yet?
Right. And so obviously the goal is to get all 8 billion people around the globe vaccinated, but we're still trying to ramp up production and there's still some more vaccines in development. And so because we have a limited supply, experts have created high priority categories for some high risk individuals to make sure that despite this limited supply, we're really getting it to those who need it the most. And so in Texas, we have phases. And so in this first phase one, we're really focusing on frontline healthcare providers that are treating COVID patients, nursing home residents, nursing home staff who work with them, your EMS providers, your home health workers dealing with high-risk patients. And then as we get more supply, we'll start to expand out a little bit more to healthcare workers who work outside of a hospital, pharmacists, our public health frontline workers who are going to be vaccinating the public, and even school nurses. And so we have a very detailed plan to make sure those most in need and most at risk are getting the limited supply first. But remember, the goal is that we will finally move on so that every person has this opportunity available to them, that then they can be protected and we can finally get out of this pandemic.
What's the latest thought on when we can get that done as a nation, that 70 to 80% of the nation vaccinated? What's the latest estimate?
So it really will take several months. This isn't something that is just going to happen overnight or in the next few weeks. And we're really actually looking forward, you know, in probably about February or March, we might get a couple of new COVID-19 vaccines that have been made available. And we'll continue to see that. And so as we get more vaccine options, more production ramped up, I would say not anywhere before the summer would we get close to getting the numbers. And then think about, too, we don't have the vaccines available for children yet. And so we're starting to do those studies. And so maybe next year we'll start having something available for our pediatric patients. So I know folks are frustrated. It's been a long pandemic, a long time to be in lockdown. But this is the beginning of the end. But this is now also going to be a long process of several months of making sure that we can do a lot of outreach and get folks vaccinated and protected finally from this coronavirus that has just been so deadly.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.